Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I was 23 and just starting a new job in the city. Money was tight after graduation, and most apartments in close neighborhoods were out of my budget. That's when I found this online listing for a room in a quiet residential area in the outskirts of the city. The landlord was exclusively seeking female tenants, and the price was almost too good to be true for a single furnished room with all the utilities included. A bit skeptical, I connected with the landlord over the phone. She said her name was Marlene, and she was a retired neurosurgeon. She lived alone in a three-bedroom house and preferred a woman who could keep her company and wouldn't make her feel uncomfortable. On the video call, Marlene seemed nice enough, maybe a little eager. She kept saying how excited she was to have a young woman in the house again and that it had been too quiet since her last tenant moved out. I moved in on a Saturday. Marlene was waiting outside when I pulled up and hugged me immediately.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
She held on a little too long and said she was so happy I was finally here. The room was nice and clean, with fresh paint. She'd put flowers on the dresser and said she wanted to make me feel at home. The first few days were fine. Marlene hardly did anything besides odd community services, so she was around a lot. I didn't mind at first, but she began to become overly friendly rather quickly. She touched my hair when we passed in the hallway and told me how beautiful I was. She'd ask what products I used. She insisted we eat dinner together every night, said it was lonely eating alone, and that she loved having company. I tried to be polite and said yes a few times, but it quickly became an expectation. She'd also compliment everything I wore and would stare constantly. Many times, I'd look up from my laptop and catch her watching me. She'd smile like she hadn't realized she was doing it. At night, it got worse. I'd be in my room with the door closed, and I'd look up to see her standing in the doorway, grinning. I started locking my door at night, but the feeling wouldn't go away. One night, I decided to test something. I pretended to be asleep and left my door cracked just enough to see if she'd come by. Around midnight, I heard footsteps in the hall. Through my half-closed eyes, I saw her silhouette in the doorway. She stood there for maybe 15 minutes before she moved closer. She crouched down beside my bed. I could hear her breathing and smell her perfume. She purred how pretty I was up close and how she just couldn't wait to feel all of it. My skin crawled, but I kept my eyes closed and breathing steady. I pretended I was still asleep. Eventually, she left, but I didn't sleep the rest of that night. First thing the next morning, I ordered a tiny hidden camera, the kind that passes for a phone charger, and set it up in my room, angled toward the hallway. The plan was simple. I'd quietly track Marlene's movements for the rest of the day. just until I could find somewhere else to live. That night, I locked my door and went to bed with my phone next to me and the camera app open. At 2:14 in the morning, my phone buzzed with a motion alert. I opened the app and saw Marlene crawling in the hallway outside my door on all fours. My door was locked, but I watched in horror as she pressed her face against the gap at the bottom, trying to peep inside. She stood up and tried the handle. When it didn't open, she lingered for a bit, staring directly at the camera, and waved. Then, she turned around and crawled back down the hallway. I couldn't breathe or move. I just stared at my phone screen, trying to process what I'd just seen. The next morning, there was a knock at my door. It was Marlene, and she was holding a bouquet. She said we needed to talk, and she could tell I was pulling away. She said she didn't want to lose another girl like last time. I didn't open the door. I told her through it that I was getting ready for work. She stood there for a long time before she finally left the flowers outside my door and walked away. I called in sick to work and started packing immediately. I didn't have another place lined up or any kind of plan. I just knew I needed to leave. By the time Marlene got back from wherever she'd gone that afternoon, I was already loading the last box into my car. She came outside asking what I was doing. I told her I had a family emergency and had to move back home immediately. She started crying and said I couldn't leave. She said we'd been so happy together and that I was just like the last girl. She said she couldn't go through this again. I got in my car and locked the doors. She stood in the driveway, watching me pull away, still sobbing. I stayed with a friend for 2 weeks before I found a new place. Never went back for my deposit. I just wanted to be far away from her. That was 8 months ago. I still think about it sometimes. I wonder what happened to the last tenant. Did she leave too? Or did something else happen? I reported it to the police and showed them the camera footage. They said it was creepy, but not technically illegal. They said unless she'd harmed me or threatened me directly, there wasn't much they could do. They suggested I file for a restraining order if I felt unsafe, but I didn't. I just wanted to forget all about it. But sometimes, when I'm walking downtown, I swear, I see her standing across the street, staring, or in the grocery store, 2 aisles over, watching. I tell myself I'm being paranoid and that she wouldn't follow me. But I can't shake the feeling that she's still watching. I was 19 when I moved to the city for university. My parents lived in a small village about 3 hours away, and student housing was expensive. My father suggested I stay with an old college friend of his who was a professor of psychology. I met Evan the day I moved in. He was polite and soft-spoken, maybe in his early 40s. He showed me to my room, which was already furnished, and told me I could use the kitchen and bathroom freely, but asked me to stay out of the basement. He said he kept research materials down there and didn't want anything disturbed. The first week was fine. Evan's car was usually gone during the day, and we didn't interact much. He'd leave notes on the kitchen counter about groceries or bills, and I'd leave rent in an envelope by the coffee maker. Soon, I started noticing things that felt off. Evan always cooked more food than one person could eat. I'd come home, and there'd be several plates drying in the dish rack. He'd tell me he had a colleague over for lunch, but I never saw anyone. When I did laundry, I'd sometimes find clothes in the washer that weren't mine or Evan's. Once, I found a pillowcase with stains that looked like dried blood. When I asked Evan about it, he said he'd cut his hand changing a light bulb in the basement. He showed me a bandage on his palm. One night, I woke up thirsty and headed toward the kitchen. That's when I heard soft pounding from the basement. At first, I thought maybe a stray animal had gotten in somehow, but the pounding continued with a steady rhythm. I crept to the basement door. Just as I reached for the handle, a voice cut through the darkness. Evan was standing at the end of the hall, backlit by his bedroom doorway. He asked what I was doing. I tried explaining I'd heard something down there. He said it was just old pipes knocking when the heat kicked on. He reminded me that the basement was always off limits. I started to say something, but he cut me off and repeated the basement was off limits. He waited until I nodded, then went back to his room. I needed to know what was in the basement. Next day, Evan had a faculty meeting. I watched him leave and waited 10 more minutes to be sure. The basement door was locked, but I'd already snuck the keys in the morning when Evan was in the shower. I opened the door. The stairs were wooden and old. At the bottom was a single dim bulb hanging from the ceiling. The basement was unfinished with a concrete floor and exposed pipes. In the corner was a mattress on the floor with a crumpled blanket covering most of it. Next to it was an IV stand with an empty bag hanging from it. There was a chair and a small table with pill bottles. On the wall was a framed photo of Evan and a woman, smiling with their arms around each other. The blanket on the mattress moved, and I nearly jumped out of my skin. The blanket shifted again, and I saw a woman, thin and pale, with eyes half open. She stared at me, but didn't seem to really see me. Her lips moved, but no sound came out. It was the woman in the photo. I heard the front door open upstairs. Evan had returned early. Maybe he'd noticed the keys missing. I ran upstairs without thinking. I could hear him in the kitchen. I made it to my room and locked the door. Seconds later, I heard his footsteps in the hallway. He stopped outside my door and tried the handle, but it was locked. He knocked and said my name quietly, asking if I was home. I didn't answer. He knocked again and told me he knew I was in there. Said we needed to talk. I grabbed my phone and backed toward the bathroom. Our room shared a bathroom with two doors on opposite sides. I locked the bathroom door from my side and opened the window. It was a first floor window, just a short drop to the grass below. I climbed out and ran. I could hear Evan trying my bedroom door, his voice getting louder, telling me to open up. I kept running until I was two blocks away, then called 911. I told them everything. The dispatcher told me to stay where I was. I sat on the curb, shaking and watching the street for police cars. They arrived 15 minutes later and went into the house while I waited outside with an officer who asked me questions I could barely answer. 20 minutes later, they brought out the woman on a stretcher. She was conscious but weak. The paramedics took her away. They brought out Evan in handcuffs after that. He looked at me as they put him in the car. His eyes were filled with hatred and anger. I stayed with a friend that night and gave my statement at the police station the next morning. The officers told me the woman was Marissa Mercer, Evan's wife. She'd been reported dead 3 years ago. Heart failure, the death certificate said, but there'd never been a body. Evan claimed he'd had her cremated. In reality, he'd kept her in the basement. The investigator said Marissa had tried to leave him after she caught him cheating and wanted a divorce. But Evan wouldn't have it. He faked her death and kept her sedated in the basement. Marissa was in the hospital for weeks. The drugs had done damage, but she survived. She confirmed everything and said she'd tried to escape once early on, but he'd caught her. After that, he'd kept her medicated almost constantly. The pounding I'd heard was her. One of the few times she'd been conscious enough to try signaling for help. Evan was charged with kidnapping, false imprisonment, and fraud. It has been years, but I still think about all of it sometimes, and think about all the ways it could have ended differently. And each version freaks me out, even more. I was a junior when I got assigned a new roommate. My previous one had transferred schools, leaving me with a full apartment for about 3 weeks before housing matched me with someone to split the rent.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
His name was Adrian, and he was a year older than me. He was studying philosophy and religious studies. When we met, he seemed polite enough. The first week was normal. We barely saw each other. He'd be gone when I woke up, and back late when I was already in bed. But by the third week, Adrian started behaving weirdly. He'd knock and ask to borrow petty things, like a pen or a phone charger. And then just stand there, talking all kinds of whacked up crap. He'd ask about identity and who I thought I really was beneath everything. About rebirth and transformation. Whether I believed people could become something entirely different. I'd give vague answers and try to redirect the conversation, but he'd keep pushing with his eyes locked on mine. After a month of us staying together, I started hearing chanting from his room around 2 or 3 in the morning. I thought maybe it was prayers or some religious module he was practicing, but the tone was too intense. One afternoon, I came back early from class. The apartment was supposed to be empty since Adrian's car was in the lot, but I heard this childlike laughter coming from his room. I walked over to his door, which was cracked open just enough to peep inside. Adrian was sitting at his desk with a small mouse on the surface in front of him. He'd had one of those small utility blades and was cutting it open slowly, laughing like he was genuinely amused. I backed away before he could see me and went to my room to lock the door. I didn't come out for dinner. I was really freaked out. That night, the chanting started again, but this time it was louder. And I could smell sage and incense seeping under my door. I pressed my ear to the wall. The words were clearer now. I couldn't understand the language, but the cadence was unmistakable. He was performing some kind of ritual. The next morning, Adrian was in the kitchen making coffee when I came out. He smiled at me and asked how I'd slept. I said fine and didn't mention what I'd heard. Poured himself a cup and sat at the table. He started talking about power and how most people worship the wrong things. How they were afraid of truth because truth required sacrifice. He told me Satan was more powerful than God. He said most people didn't understand that, but he did. And I should try to understand it too. He said I should consider it and that he could help me. I stared at him and asked if he was serious. He nodded. I asked him straight up if he was in some kind of cult. Adrian smiled. His eyes went distant, like he was looking through me instead of at me. He got up, put his cup in the sink, and went back to his room without another word. I spent the whole day trying to figure out what to do. I thought about calling housing and packing up and leaving, but I kept telling myself I was overreacting and that he was just weird and eccentric. That college had all kinds of people. I should have trusted my instincts. That night, I woke up around 3 in the morning to find my room was filled with dozens of candles, casting flickering shadows across the walls. On my floor, drawn in what looked like red paint, was a pentagram. Adrian was sitting in the center of it, cross-legged with his eyes rolled back in his head so only the whites showed. He was chanting the same words I'd heard through the wall, but louder now and more intense. He was in some kind of trance, with his body swaying slightly and his hands raised palm up. I couldn't move or breathe. I just stared at him sitting there on my floor performing some kind of satanic ritual while I was sleeping. His head tilted toward me, with his eyes still rolled back, like he could sense I was awake even though he couldn't see. That snapped me out of it. I grabbed my phone and bolted out of the apartment. I stood in the hallway and called campus security. I told them everything. They arrived within 10 minutes. Two officers went into the apartment while I waited in the hall. I heard voices. Adrian's voice was calm and confused, asking what was wrong. The officers were asking him to step outside. When they brought him out, he looked like a regular guy in sweatpants, looking bewildered. The officers went back inside and were shocked to see the pentagrams and the candles. The officers asked if I wanted to file a formal complaint. I said yes and told them I wanted Adrian removed immediately. Housing moved him out that same night and put him in a temporary accommodation while they investigated. A week later, I got a call from student services. They told me Adrian had been sent home and that the school had contacted his parents. They recommended he get a medical evaluation before returning to campus. He never came back or finished his degree. I checked the student directory months later, and his name was gone. I moved to a different apartment, with single occupancy. That was 2 years ago. I graduated last spring, and I'm living on my own now, working in the city. But I still wake up sometimes, and for a split second, I expect to see candles and Adrian sitting on my floor with his eyes rolled back, chanting in that language I couldn't understand. One thing that disturbs me even more is how Adrian set up all the candles and painted the satanic symbol on the wall without making a single sound. I'm a light sleeper, and it confuses me to think how on that particular night, I didn't feel his presence in my room until much later. I wasn't drunk, nor did I take any pills. So why didn't I hear a thing while he set up his occult ceremony in my room?
I used to work at a popular clothing store years ago. I worked there for a couple years and enjoyed it.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Most of the time, we would not be that busy. The store was pretty large and spread out. The weekends would often bring in a lot of people, but we could handle it. Black Friday was always the busiest day of the year, though, by far. Most of the employees were scheduled to work on Black Friday every year. I was no exception when I worked there, and I remember the first one that I worked. We opened early at like 6 a.m., and from the start, there were lots of people in the store. We didn't have that many registers to begin with, but they were all open. Still, despite this, there was a long line of people waiting to check out for most of the time. I normally was not a cashier and I would work around the store, but on this Black Friday, I was needed at the checkouts and I worked as a cashier. This went on for probably the first 4 or 5 hours of my shift. Then finally, I was off the checkouts and I was moved to working around the store. I would help customers, keep things clean and organized in certain areas, and things like that. I remember that I was sort of in the back end of the store, and I was somewhat close to winter coats, hats, and gloves, that sort of stuff. This area of the store was probably the quietest, and there wasn't that many people over there. As I was over there, I saw this man who was shopping in that section. I looked over right as he was putting a black ski mask over his head. At first, I thought that he was just trying it on, and it was one of the ski masks that we sold. But then, I saw him rip off the tag, and he did not take the mask off. I thought that was weird. But still, I didn't want to go up to him and ask him what he was doing or anything. I was busy folding clothes on a display table that had been messed up. The guy was also not really that close to me. Not long after, though, I looked back and he was gone. I didn't think too much of it because Black Friday can be crazy. I quickly forgot about him for the most part. And a few minutes later, it was time for my break. So I headed over to the break room that we had, which happened to be at the back end of the store. Past one of the customer service desks, there was a few hallways and back rooms. The break room was one of them. I went in there and there were a few other employees in as well, maybe two or three. Usually when I worked, there wouldn't be any, maybe one other person on break at the same time as me. I didn't know any of the employees very well that were on their break at that moment, so I just sat down at a table by myself, sort of at the front of the room. It was pretty quiet in there. Nobody was talking, and there were just a few tables and chairs, a refrigerator, and then a TV in the break room. Less than 5 minutes into my break, though, somebody suddenly entered the break room. It was the same man who I had seen earlier. I instantly recognized him because he was still wearing the ski mask. After entering the break room, the man yelled out, "Someone take me to the safe now!" Everyone looked up, but didn't say a word. I was thinking that it might be a joke, but I was also pretty creeped out by this. After nobody said anything for like 10 seconds, the man repeated himself. Someone behind me said that they didn't know where the safe was. He then demanded a manager. After a few seconds' pause, the person behind me said nobody in the break room was a manager. The man then walked over, and I happened to be the one sitting closest to him. He grabbed my arm and made me stand up. The guy then told me that I was going to take him to the safe. I tried to pull away from him, but he had a strong grip on my arm. When I did, he claimed that he had weapons on him. I didn't see anything, but I didn't know for sure. He was much larger than I, a barely 5-foot-tall woman. The man practically dragged me out of the room and into another hallway. There were a few other hallways down there, as it was the back area of the store. No one else was in the immediate vicinity. The man told me again to tell him where the safe was, claiming that he knew we had one. Now, being 100% honest, I truly had no idea where our safe was. I didn't even know for sure if we even had one in the store. I'm guessing we did, but I never cared to know anything about it. I told the man I didn't know, and he yelled at me, claiming that I did. He seemed to think that I was a manager for some reason, and I didn't know why, because I wasn't. I was terrified. In that moment, I wished that I did know where it was so that the guy wouldn't hurt me, and I could just tell him where it was and he would leave. I wanted him to leave us alone. We walked up and down a few hallways over there with no luck. He was looking for it and kept asking me where it was, but my guess was as good as his. I told him maybe it was at the front of the store, which made him mad. He said that was just a ploy to get him out. I said there was no ploy, but the man was seeming to get panicked. He seemed to really believe that one of us back there would lead him to the store safe. I'm not sure where he got his information from. We started going to random doors in the back rooms of the store that were open. Nothing led to a safe. After what felt like a long time of wandering around the back with this guy, he walked towards an exit. Then he let go of me, ran to the door, and opened it. This was not a commonly used exit at all, so he was leaving the store to a back alley type of area. After he was gone and the door swung shut, I felt a huge amount of relief. I ran back to the break room and told everyone to call the police, which they already had. A bunch of people were coming up and asking if I was okay. I was surprised at how fast the word traveled. Within minutes, the whole store basically got shut down. There were tons of cops there, and I answered a bunch of questions from them. The man ended up being located later on in the day.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I was sent home early, and our store was only closed for about an hour before opening again. That was by far my craziest Black Friday experience.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.